Good evening and happy holidays, everyone. This is the 2017 Year in Review Show. I'm Chris Michael, joined by Keith Groller. We're glad you could be with us for a very special edition of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call, a little bit different from our normal shows. We'll talk about how it's different in just a moment. But Keith, happy holiday season to you. Thanks for being here tonight.
Thank you, Chris. And I'm a little bit afraid of this show because I sent over some pictures. And you've always come up with something that just kind of humiliates me and embarrasses me. Last year, the best picture was me, was the one of the empty seat saying that Keith couldn't make it tonight. Remember, that was a classic.
Well, you were running late.
That was a classic one, yeah.
And Steve Gross, who was on the show last week, said that was one of the funniest things he's ever saw.
Yeah, he loved it. And I'm sure many of the Morning Call people love that. they know my M.O.
All right. Well, this show is, as I said, a little bit different from all of the other shows we've done during the calendar year. We take a look back at the 2017 sports year. We take a look at regional, national, and local stuff, a variety of topics. Some are the same topics we've used in previous years. We try to come up with some new topics from time to time to mix it. Keith and I will go back and forth. And if you have a comment, you can email us. We had the topics listed on our blog for the last week, so hopefully you had some fun with that, emailing some responses. If we get a chance, we'll try to read some of your responses. But we do try to just have some fun on this program here and pay tribute and also talk about some serious topics from the 2017 calendar year. All right, Keith, let's start it off. This is a new topic for our Year in Review show. And I thought it was interesting, best collection of sophomores. Because last year in high school basketball, we had a lot of great 10th graders in the spring. I know softball was your beat. You had a lot of great 10th graders. Lacrosse, I saw a number of sophomores that were very impressive. And then it came in the fall, and it seemed like every week I was saying, well, here's another first-year quarterback starting as a sophomore. And, you know, Anthony Harris, you just run down the list. There was a lot of great 10th graders this year. So what was your best collection of
sophomores? Well, I'm going pro here.
Okay.
And, of course, this looks so good. When I sent this to you about a week or so ago,
it's still
apropos. I'm talking about the Philadelphia Eagles and the second year of Carson Wentz, the second year of Doug Peterson as coach, the second year's Frank Wright. Yep. As offensive coordinator on down the line, the Eagles, and they still might salvage this thing, but what a fantastic season it's been for the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, usually there's a sophomore jinx, we talk about it, where there's regression, but in all cases with the Philadelphia Eagles, it's been a phenomenal year, and everybody's moving forward, and really, I'm not the biggest Eagle fan in the world, but Carson Wentz is a phenomenal young man, and tough deal with him injuring himself against the Rams there. But I look forward to bigger and better things from him. And it's still going to be an exciting January in the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah, and it was the second year back as the GM for Howie Roseman.
That's right.
We had Nick
Fiero
on the show last week. And really, for as much grief as Howie Roseman took during his first tenure, he's done everything right. He's turned it all around.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. For my best collection of sophomores this year, as I said, there was a lot of great sophomores in several different sports, including this past football season. I'm going to go with the Nazareth Blue Eagles because Anthony Harris, we talked about him quite a bit, very versatile quarterback, a long, lengthy throw. He has great running ability. They kind of kept that under wraps this year. Expect him to run more next year. But yeah, add on to that, they have Kyle Paccio in the backfield, very serviceable running back. Nate Stefanik, a great two-way player as a corner and as a wide receiver. He made the catch of the year against Bethlehem Catholic. He laid out over the middle, diving catch, selling out, making a catch on the goal line, setting up a touchdown. They ended up with a game-winning field goal in that game. Just a great effort by him. And probably the most underrated two-way player among underclassmen, Jake Wilson, a sophomore. So a lot of great sophomores at Nazareth.
Good.
They're going to be good next year.
They're going to be good, and as long as they have Tommy Falzone as the coach there, and he's like the quarterback whisperer there. Yeah. I mean, he's just a fantastic coach, especially offensively. I look for big things from the Blue Eagles.
And I have this question from several people in the Nazareth community. Will the Morning Call not pick them to be in last place? Because the last, except for Northampton, the last 2 years they've been in second last place.
I know nothing.
And I get grief. I don't have anything to do with that
I'm not the EPC South guy.
Well, you have pool.
You can blame me for the disaster that was my Colonial League predictions, but including the Notre Dame pick to beat Palisades in the districts, which didn't turn
Everyone
out very well.
Everyone seemed to get that one wrong.
Yeah. So anyway, but you can't blame me for Nazareth.
All right. Topic number two here, sign, and I hope every year that I don't have a local one, but unfortunately I do. Sign that the sports apocalypse is at hand, that the end of the world is near, something that was so dreadful that were so out of the ordinary, it certainly deserves some mention here. So, Keith, what was your sports?
Well, at the time, you could always mention anything to do with LeVar Ball is the sign of the apocalypse. the fact that this man gets airtime anywhere is a disgrace to humanity, in my opinion. But I went with the Yankees, mm-hmm. firing Joe Girardi, who had that team one win away from the World Series in a year that no one really thought that the Yankees were going to make the playoffs, much less win a couple series in the postseason and nearly get into the World Series. So I thought that was a bad move, but we're like the Yankees of old. We make controversial managerial decisions, and we go out and we get big-time players to come in. In this case, it's a trade, not a free agency, although they pre-pre... If he was available, Stanton I'm talking yeah. about, if he was available by free agency, it looks like he would have went to New York. You know, I'm a little bitter because the Cardinals had a deal
they
in place
had a chance,
for him.
Yeah, he didn't want to go there.
And he, you know, he wants to go big time. So the evil empire, it seems like, and I like the Yankees to a degree, but it seems like the evil empire is back in the Empire City, New York City.
Yeah, it certainly was a head-scratcher. Joe Girardi had the great job he did.
And Boone, look at me and you could work that team, and you put the Stanton with Sanchez and the big fella, Mr. Judge.
And they might get Manny Machado this weekend, too.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
They never know. But, yeah, that was a head-scratcher, too. We'll talk more baseball in a little bit. My sports apocalypse was something that I saw. And, again, I hope every year that I don't have a local example. But this one stuck out in my mind. I went to a practice. I won't say what school. And when coaches have us at practice, I look at it as a privilege that they let us be there. Mm-hmm. They let parents mm-hmm. there. You know, we adhere to their rules. We do whatever they say. They tell us to turn the cameras off. We do that. But there was that one practice that we were at. There was a parent there. They had their phone. Not only the phone was on, but they were watching a TV show like The Walking Dead, and the volume was up.
Oh,
I couldn't believe it, and I wanted to scream, and I didn't want to step on the coach's shoes, and they're a far nicer person than I am, but I could not believe that they were actually at a high school practice watching a show with the volume up.
Now, this was this was a parent or a player?
A parent.
First of all, parents should not be there at all, in my opinion. You turn your kids over, and I get disturbed when I go to a basketball practice, a softball practice, any sport. Parents, look it. You got to cut the cord. Let the kids fend for themselves. I don't like that hovering of parents. It's one of my pet peeves.
Yeah. Well, some coaches ban it, but as I said, this coach was much nicer than I was.
Yeah.
But I kind of reflected back to Coach Tracy and some of the old school people.
Oh,
what they would have done
never.
If they saw something like that going.
Never.
On. All right. Topic number three: biggest sports embarrassment. I was actually going to say LeVar Ball for this one, but I know you want to talk about him later on. So, what's your biggest sports embarrassment?
Well, I think we talk about soccer coming on strong, and we know we have over at the Steel Stacks we have these World Cup parties, and we know that when the women won, I can't remember the year, but when they won in the Los Angeles Coliseum years ago, it created such a excitement in this country. The U.S. failing to make the World Cup, I think, is a big, big disappointment. And I don't know if it's an embarrassment, but to me, it is embarrassing. We shouldn't fail to make anything. We got the best athletes, the best technology in the world. And the fact that we couldn't get it done to get into the tournament, the World Cup tournament, I think is a big embarrassment.
Yeah. Huge surprise. A lot of people lost their job over that, too. Mine was Chip Kelly being hired at UCLA. And not necessarily the hiring itself of having him come back, because let's face it, he ruined the Eagles for a couple years. Went to the 49ers, didn't do anything there. I didn't even think he was that great as a TV personality. He didn't add a whole lot of insights at all. So he gets signed, comes back to college, UCLA. All right, let's cut him some slack. He had success with Oregon. But the thing that got me was the biggest sports embarrassment, and I hate this. When pinheads in their ivory tower who know nothing about sports goes and you stick a microphone in front of them, and I don't know because I saw it on TV and I didn't know if it was the president or vice president or some administrator, but he comes out and says they hired Chip Kelly to bring respect and order back to UCLA. Now, you had Jim Mora, who was a very classy guy. You paid him $12 million to go away, and you bring back a guy who had a checkered past, racial issues with the Eagles. He goes to the 49ers. The Kaepernick thing goes on. And he had a checkered past history, and you bring him back to restore respect to your program? That, I thought, was the biggest embarrassment.
Well, Chip Kelly, he got Oregon in trouble.
They were on probation.
Yeah, right. That bad comment there. Although I will say, look, I follow the Pac-12 a little bit. Jim Moore wasn't getting it done. Yeah. I mean, he looked like he was
a classier guy.
Yeah, perhaps, but he was very disinterested out there. And, UCLA is basically a basketball school. Let's see if Kelly can. He's got a tough market there. I mean, USC's owned that town in terms of college football for many years. In fact, before the Rams and the Chargers moved there, they said that.
Didn't know that.
The best pro team, in the Los Angeles was the USC Trojans. Yeah. So we'll see what Kelly does. I think he belongs in college. We'll see what happens.
According to Nick Fiero, the most Los Angeles people don't even know the Rams are in Los
Angeles. That's very true. They found out this team's coming on a little bit. I know the Eagles won the big game the other day, but the Rams are going to be okay going forward.
Yeah. All right, topic number four, what's the worst story of 2017? And you can take this a couple different ways. Keith, obviously you have a very poignant worst story of 2017.
Well, I think the tragedy of Roy Halladay, and we seem to have one or two of these tragedies every year. It was a tough year in the sports community, whether it's local with people like Mike Donnelly, the Muhlenberg coach, or Nate Hopgood-Chittick. But certainly, Roy Halladay meant a heck of a lot to Phillies fans, what he brought to the table, the perfect game, the no-hitter in the postseason. And for him to lose him with such a tragic accident, I thought was one of the worst stories of 2017. There's a lot to pick from in 2017. Yeah. But to me, the ultimate was when we lose somebody who is so beloved. And I thought that one I thought was a terrible, terrible tragedy to lose a talented, gifted person so young. Very, very big tragedy.
And I was told he was a great family guy. Mm-hmm. His son
Never heard a problem about him. Heard a problem.
His son is on an undefeated team down in Florida, 30-0. He's looking to play pro ball and follow in his dad's footsteps. And the story that I heard that I will always remember about Roy Halladay was Chase Utley, for whether you liked him or not, because he wasn't the nicest guy behind the scenes, but he was a blue-collar guy. He showed up the first day of spring training when Roy Halladay was signed. And he was usually the first one in the clubhouse. And he got there. And he saw Roy Halladay, who was dripping wet. And he said, "Oh, Roy, I didn't know it was raining outside." He goes, "No, I didn't. I was here for 2 hours working out, and I'm finishing by the time Chase Utley just got there." So that was a horrible story for Phillies fans and baseball fans in general. My worst story was a local one, and this happens a couple times. There's hazing incidents that still goes on, especially when people transfer from different schools, which I think is 2017. I think you got to get a little more class and treat people with respect. I know if they come in from a different school or whatever, you want to give them the business a little bit, but there's way too many activities that went over the line, in my opinion. And also, there was a few issues, and I think this happened 3 times during football season, of disrespecting one team by coming out when the other was playing, their banner was out, or they didn't get the full celebration, and then another team came out. There was 3 issues of that, and in one case, an administrator got on social media and started bad-mouthing the other school. So
not
I think
good.
Just
good.
General overall respect for each other, students to students, administrators to administrators, and just school to school. I think that was the worst story that I saw, certainly from a Lehigh Valley standpoint.
I don't disagree. I was there the night Easton and Becca, I think that's what you're referring
that's
to,
one
with
of
the
them,
administrator,
yeah.
And that was not a good scene. You have the Becca kids. No matter what you feel about Becca, their kids work hard. They have good kids that were playing in the band.
Yeah.
And here come the Easton football team running through, and the band started playing. It was just a bad scene. It just added fuel to the animosity that is going on with those schools and so many schools.
Yeah. All right, topic number five, going back to something positive. What was your favorite Lehigh Valley story this year?
Well, for me, easily, it was March the 1st, I believe, the PPL Center night, District 11 6A semifinals. This is considered a wrestling area. This is considered a football area. It's not considered a basketball area. But we showed that if you give them a great product, and we had all those 1,000-point scores on the floor, the people came out. And what a celebration for high school athletics, that 8,500, whatever it was, at the PPL Center for the District 11 6A semis. it was a testimony to Allen High School. I think Allen really generated a lot of interest with their high-flying act of Talik Williams and Tyrese Martin. Yeah. And it was a fantastic night, and a night I'll never forget. And I couldn't believe it. I thought, okay, great move. Let's do it. Let's see what happens. I thought 4,000, 5,000, and the people kept coming and coming, and the lower bowl filled. And then we went upstairs, and that was filled. And I had goosebumps that night. Maybe for the, you know, one of the few times in my career I had goosebumps. Very, very special night, and I hope we can do it again one day. Probably not, but yeah. Hopefully we'll try.
We'll talk about the PPL Center and the topic coming up. Mine was all the state champions that we had in the Lehigh Valley. As we saw this fall, it's not a given that we're going to have a state champion. Last year we were very spoiled. We had four state champions. It was a great year. We got to celebrate a lot of teams going deep into the state playoffs. And we'll talk about Keith, one of his topics is about some of the individual people that we got to meet this year. But it was great to have so many champions. It was great to honor them on our sports talk shows this last year. And I salute all the people that gave that great effort this past year. And hopefully we can renew that and get back on the winning track for 2018. All right, last topic before our break. What's the biggest local question mark from the 2017 year?
Keith? Well, I went with the continual unrest in our local high school leagues. I mean, I keep hearing that some people are unhappy in the EPC. A lot of people are unhappy in the Colonial League. Are we gonna reform this thing? I just like to look. I don't like all the unrest. And of course, we had a recent incident with Palisades. We talked about it, I think the last show that I did a couple weeks ago, talking about the Conwell Egan Palisades game, where a kid comes over from a New Jersey school, played all season at the New Jersey school, comes over, played prominently for Conwell Egan in the state playoff game. I just want this. I want to enjoy the teams. I want to enjoy the players. I want to enjoy the competition. And there's always all this unrest about, you know, we're gonna get this to school, and we're gonna do this. And I wish we could work these things out, and put away the unrest that we always seem to have. There's always that rumors about, you know, these schools are gonna leave here for there, and that kind of stuff. And I hope I think there could be some more reshuffling coming in the not too distant future. And boy, I certainly would like to just know that we're gonna have an EPC, a Colonial League, or even a new league. And let's have the teams, and they're going to stay. They're going
to
stay a while. Yeah.
All right. Mine was the PPL Center. That's my biggest question mark. PPL Center was put together with taxpayers' dollars to be a community center. Now, before it was built, it was supposed to be hosting, you know, all sorts of events. Then it's built, no high school events. And they do a great job with hockey. I haven't gone to any hockey games. I've talked to people that have seen hockey games there. It's great. I've taken my son there to see the circus and the Avengers on ice. Great shows, great facilities, world-class event, world-class center. But they weren't hosting local games until last year, when the word got out that this was going to be a big buzz and a lot of people were going to come. And then you saw all those quotes in the morning call. Well, we're here for the kids. We're here for the community. Mm-hmm. We want to do it for our local schools. And now that you're not going to be guaranteed a draw of 8,000 people, well, we can't find a date. All of our weekends are booked. If you play all your games on a Monday, maybe we could squeeze you in. So I would like an answer to this question. Are they for the community? They use taxpayers' dollars. Are they for this Lehigh Valley? Or are they just there to make money? Just be honest. If you're there to make money and you want X number of dollars to play District 11 games or District 11 wrestling matches, fine, say that, but don't go back and forth.
Well, and you're right. I mean, I could not agree more with you, Chris, and it's disappointing. I understand from District 11 officials that they have tried to work out wrestling. They've tried to work out basketball dates, and the price keeps going up and up. Yeah. They saw what a gold mine it was, and now it looks like they're trying to take advantage of the situation. It's very disappointing to me. Look, I love the place. It's a couple blocks from where I've spent most of the last 35 years. I was there for Trans-Siberian Orchestra show, which is a fantastic show a couple weeks ago. I was also there for the Phantoms last week for a game. And it's great. I can't believe I'm sitting in downtown Allentown. Yeah. But look, make it accessible for. And we've had some similar things with Coca-Cola Park. I mean, District 11's had their struggles getting them to be accommodating. Look, the Valley supports you. We're there for the Phantoms. We're there for the Iron Pigs. Make these wonderful facilities accessible and affordable for our kids, because that's the future. That's where we're at. I mean, because those kids are going to turn into adults, and If you want to continue the support that we have for these venues and these teams, you got to attract, you know, give them a lifetime they're never going to forget. And what's disappointing is Reading, Hershey, and Scranton-Wilkes-Barre, all
Heinz
are very...
Field. The Steelers host playoff
They're all
games.
Very accommodating. Yeah. Why can't we get the PPL Center to be accommodating? Very disappointing.
I agree. All right, we're going to continue with more topics, local, regional, national, talking about the top moments, teams, players, and some special categories coming up. First of all, though, we want to take a moment here. On behalf of everyone at RCN, we want to pay our condolences. Keith, the reason you were here, not here last week, obviously, your mother was ill, and we pass along our condolences to you and your family on your loss this week.
Well, thank you very much. And I just wanted to say, Chris, that first of all, you know, people who know me know I'm very proud of my father, who was an Allentown firefighter for 30 years. Very proud of my son, who was a lieutenant on the Allentown Fire Department, and very proud of him. But I got to say that heroes don't always have to wear a uniform. My mother was a hero to her family. Raised in one of the poorest sections of Allentown. I mean, one of her homes was in Hanover Acres, and people know when I say Hanover Acres, we're not talking Taj Mahal. We're talking about a tough neighborhood. And my mother lived there. She lived in some tough other homes. My mother's side of the family never had any money, but my mother worked extremely hard. She helped raise three younger sisters. And because of the struggles that my family had when she was a child, my mother, when she became an adult, she worked hard. She was a straight-A student at Allentown High School, class of 1959. And she basically raised my three aunts, her three sisters. And really, truly, if my mother met you and knew you for any length of time, you were going to get a gift from her. She was a giving person, extremely giving. She made Christmas happen for not only her sisters, but for so many members of her family. So obviously, everybody's partial to their mom. I was very, very partial to my mother. I thought the world of her. And on Tuesday morning, we lost her at the age of 76, and my heart was broken on Tuesday morning. But I must say that my heart, the pieces have come back together over the last 48 hours because of the great support, in large part because of the great support from the Lehigh Valley sports community. I've heard from so many teams, from so many people, from Lee Butz to the president of the Pocono Raceway, to Andy Cohen, the Lehigh football coach, to Andre Reed, to Pat Kelly, Stacey Falkovitz, you name it. I've been very, very touched. And it's going to be a tough couple days for me. We have the viewing tomorrow night. We have church service on Saturday morning, but the strength I've received from the Lehigh Valley sports community has really given me the courage and kind of the strength to go forward here and honor my mom the best way possible. And by the way, don't think that I'm not going to have a wonderful Christmas because of this. It's certainly going to be a very different Christmas and in many regards an empty Christmas, but my mother would be the first one to say, you got to celebrate, Keith. You got to put up those decorations. You got to sing those songs. And you better give out as many presents as you can. You have a good time because that's what she wanted to do every Christmas. And Mom, we're really going to miss you. And thank you. I also want to thank Chris Michael and the RCN sports family for all their kindness and consideration. This is a wonderful place here. And like I said, I've just been so amazed and heartwarmed by everybody's support. And I want to thank you for the time tonight.
Welcome back to 2017 Year in Review Show. Chris Michael and Keith Groller as part of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call, our final show of 2017. Last show of the RCN studio here in 2017, too. Our crew's going to be busy with high school basketball and wrestling the next week. And then, of course, some great things coming your way in 2018. We're going through a variety of different topics, looking at local, regional, and national sports with some topics. Again, all of our topics posted online the week prior to the show, too, so you can view there at the RCN TV website. And we'll pick up with topic number 7. What was the biggest national question mark of 2017? Keith, what was the biggest question mark for you?
Well, I think that football may be in a little bit of trouble. I mean, for so long, football was the dominant sport in this country, both in terms of fan interest in terms of participation. And I think football, with the national anthem controversy, with the concern, I mean, there was just a game, Monday, about 10 days ago, the Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game, raising a lot of concerns. I think football, I think it's going to still be strong. And when we had Kevin Ronalds on here a couple weeks ago and Paul
Reduzzi,
we talked about how I still think football is the ultimate team game and you can learn a lot from football.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be interesting to see how far it slips. I mean, this national anthem controversy has been a blow to them. I really believe that. And somebody said the other day, is basketball going to supplant? The NBA going to supplant the NFL? I don't see that happening. Okay. But I think it's going to see what happens here going forward with the sport of football, both in terms of popularity and the health concerns.
Yeah, real legitimate concern, I think. My biggest national question mark is also the Phillies' biggest question mark, but baseball in general and the new direction that baseball is going in, so heavily to analytics. And I know analytics is big, but for example, the Phillies, for the first time in my lifetime, I think since 1970, they're going to have an entire coaching staff with no former Phillies players on it. They've gotten rid of a lot of the old regime or put them into positions that really don't factor in terms of the player personnel. And you see this all across baseball, the new direction they're going in baseball with analytics. And Billy Beane was on the MLB Network the other day, and it's really disgusting to me, but he said he was so excited about the direction of baseball because so many non-baseball people are taking over, running the organizations, and there's computer people and PhDs and people with master's degree making all these decisions, and isn't it wonderful for baseball? And I think they've gone way too far, and the trend is that everyone's going over to this end. But I think we're losing a lot of the personalities in the game. I'll talk about with another topic coming up. I think baseball is in trouble for a couple different reasons, but I do not like the new directions away from the old style of game. It used to be like a friendly game or a family game, a game you could take your son with. And yesterday, Matt Klintak was talking about re-signing Pat Neshek, 37-year-old middle reliever. And everyone's talking about Machado and Jake Arrieta. But Klintak was saying, look at the spin ratio on this guy. And that's, you know, when I take my son to a game and pay hundreds of dollars.
You're thinking about spin ratio.
Yeah, I know the Phillies are down 9-1 at this point, but wait until the seventh inning. They're going to bring in a guy with a great war ratio, and his spin rotation is going to be just great. You're going to lose people.
Chris, I couldn't agree more. I really couldn't agree more with you, and I think that's one of the problems with baseball. I mean, the games take forever because they have to bring the lefty in to face the left-handed star hitter. I mean, what happened? I mean, Bob Gibson and my guys, when I was a young man falling in love with the game of baseball, Gibson would pitch. I'm sure he threw games where he threw 140, 150 pitches, if not more. And they, you know, he had a Hall of Fame career. Why we have to count pitches? Why? I mean, all this stuff is way out of control, way out of whack. The games take way too long. We had another compelling World Series, but I wonder how many people actually watched it.
I didn't.
Way too late. Way too long. And one thing we know is baseball is down. It's not going to supplant. If football does slip, as I mentioned in the previous topic there, if football does slip, I know baseball is not going to be the sport to supplant it.
And the Phillies and a lot of organizations are going with 8-man bullpens.
Oh,
because
terrible.
They've said, we're all right if our pitcher goes through the lineup twice, maybe once.
Yeah.
We'll just bring in we'll bring in a lot of 2- and 3-inning type relievers, and we'll just roll out our pitching staff that way. All right, topic number 8. What's the most underrated sports program in your opinion?
Well, I didn't know where we were going with this. Maybe you wanted an individual team, but as a whole, I think Southern Lehigh. You know, they do a really nice job down there. And they're kind of in the shadows. You know, if you go down that 309 corridor, you got Parkland, you got Emmaus, you have Southern Lehigh. And maybe they don't win state championships and everything, but they have a class program from top to bottom. And whether it's field hockey, whether it's tennis, whether it's soccer, whether it's lacrosse in the spring, basketball, the girls are going to be, as you know, they're phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
I think Southern Lehigh as a whole, maybe because it's not in the EPC, although they could be one day. When we reshuffle this deck, as I mentioned earlier, Southern Lehigh could find itself with the bigger schools, but I think they really do a nice job over there in Center Valley.
Yeah, I was thinking individual sports program, but that's fine. If I would be talking about school-wide, I would say Bangor. because I think Banger's also very good in most sports, especially basketball, as you know. They had coming off a great baseball season, a great softball season, and they don't get as much attention. People in Center Valley may say we not get as much attention. I think Banger's the most underrated Colonial League school. But in terms of individual sports program, I went with Northwestern Soccer because ever since I can remember, they've had outstanding soccer programs. I remember we used to broadcast soccer games, including the districts, and I remember the game with Kelly Bleem was on Northwestern. Chris Bleem, her husband, was on Parkland. They were playing for a championship, and she was about 2 days away from her due date. And all this time, Northwestern has had a very underrated soccer program. They had a great run this year, almost made it out to a state championship, finished just short of that. But, boy, Northwestern, I think, is underrated in general, but certainly in the sport of soccer. All right, topic number nine, who is your most overrated team or your most overrated personality of 2017? Keith?
Well, for me, it's an easy choice when you talk about this guy drives me nuts. And why he's still on, why I can't.
Wait, you're talking about me?
No, not you. Okay. Next week, I'll go back to you. But this LeVar Ball, I mean, why? Look, he's a nut. He's a crazy man. He's crazy, and yet we continue to we continue to put the cameras on him. I used to be angry at him, but now I'm mad at the media who continue to focus. I mean, he's causing problems with the Lakers. He certainly has had problems with UCLA. He's had problems everywhere. And look, no one, and maybe you deal with him too. I shouldn't say no one, but 35 years. If you tell me what's the biggest problem, it's overparenting. It's getting letting your kids. Not letting your kids have the freedom to grow up and learn life's lessons on their own. Yeah. This guy is the poster boy for everything that's wrong. And the fact that we continue, but ESPN in particular, continues to showcase this man, I think is pathetic and disgraceful. Please don't put the camera in front of him and let him fade off into oblivion, which he will one day.
Yeah, and I think Fox Sports banned interviewing him because
move. Yeah. Good for Fox.
Yeah, my favorite LeVar Ball comment was when he said, well, he didn't think his son did anything wrong in China.
I mean, that's a disgrace
yes,
right there.
I mean, he's going the wrong way. I could say Mr. Ball, but I'm going to just go in a different direction for argument's sake. And I do feel strongly about this. Roger Goodell just signed a new contract extension, over $25 million. I mean, football, as Keith mentioned earlier, the NFL has been this great juggernaut for many years. It's seeing its worst PR over the last couple of years because of its treatment of athletes dealing with women. Then he goes after, he had light sentences for those people. Then he goes after Tom Brady for Inflategate. He's been wishy-washy on the whole national anthem thing. And for the only time I can ever remember agreeing with Jerry Jones on anything, I don't think they should have approved his extension this quickly. I mean, he wanted to get him fired. I don't know about that. But certainly not a raise, certainly not an extension at this time. Way overrated, Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL. All right, we're going to take another break. Quick message, though, for you on a personal note. Joe Craig, we mentioned on last week's show, was having open-heart surgery. He went through the surgery and the procedure with flying colors. He's okay. He was in the hospital as a precaution for a couple days, but he is home. He's resting well. And he promises to be out in Bethlehem because his son is going to be up as part of that Bethlehem City tournament with Liberty and Freedom. He's going to be playing, I think, Freedom the first night.
At Woodson High School. Woodson, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Woodson
State
down in the
champion
DC.
Last year, by the way.
Yep, and he was coach of the year. So he promises me he's going to continue his recovery. He'll be out there for that tournament coming up right after Christmas holiday. All right, we'll be back with more of tonight's RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call, the Year in Review show, coming up after this. Welcome back to the 2017 Year in Review show. Along with Keith Groller, I'm Chris Michael. RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call in our final production of 2017. We thank you for being with us and for all the nice comments about the show, where you can now hear online on The Morning Call website, on the RCN TV website, and of course, on demand. We're continuing along some of the top moments, players and teams from 2017. Topic number 10 is next. This is a favorite one. Who is your most underrated head coach? A lot of great people in the Lehigh Valley. We don't limit it to the Lehigh Valley, but who is your most underrated head coach in 2017?
Well, I've kind of picked on this school.
Yes, you have.
Over the years.
And they get to the championship this year.
I call them my yeah, but school. And this applies to actually just about everything I cover, which is softball, too, and certainly boys basketball and football. But I got to give my props to Freedom High School coach Jason Roeder. Jason has done a fantastic job. Just look at the struggles that seem to be happening all the time at Liberty. Liberty, the neighbor right there in the Christmas City, Liberty struggled before Tim Montzman got there. They went through a whole pile of different coaches. And even though Mr. Truby's been there now a couple years, there's always rumblings that, you know, there's going to be a change there. And Jason, meanwhile, gets this job, and Freedom has been a consistent winner year in, year out. Now, with who's their quarterback? He's back. He's only a sophomore this year.
He was great, too. I was touting him.
It's on the tip of my tongue. But he is going to be very, very,
very good.
He's another
sophomore.
And look, I covered them opening night. I think you were there. They played Central Catholic, Chris, on opening night or opening week. Remember that? Did you cover that game?
No, I didn't.
And I thought, okay, Freedom's good, but they're not going to be. And there they were.
I could look up his name, but Eric broke my computer here, Mr. Lehigh.
Oh, man, that bothers me. But yeah, Young was there for so long that he's the only quarterback in my head. But Jason Roeder, fantastic job year in, year out, keeping Freedom at a high level in the Christmas City.
Very good choice there. And I'm glad you're finally recognizing Freedom, because you've been bad-mouthing.
Well, they're still my yeah-but school, but look, Roeder's done a really nice job keeping – I love to see Freedom break through with a big-time championship one day.
All right, I'm going to stay in Freedom partially. I had a three-way tie because there's just three awesome people during the basketball season. Hopefully we get around to seeing all of them. Joe Stellato at Freedom, Joe Arnott at Nazareth, and Eric Snyder at Caddy. Great people, great people to work with, to just have a conversation with. They're always nice when we come there for practices. They're very accommodating with information when we have their games. And they each have their own set of challenges. Joe Stellato in the inner city school. Eric, of course, the smallest school in our viewing area, too. He has numbers issues he has to deal with. And, of course, Joe Arnott has to deal with Andy Weaver's dad. Just kidding. Just kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I love Tom, but he's very opinionated.
That's fine. But, those are my three favorite basketball coaches. Look forward to seeing them a lot during our 2018 basketball season coming up. All right, topic number 11. What's your biggest gripe of 2017?
Well, I like the we talk about the separation of church and state. I like the separation of politics and sports. And this year, they continually crossed. And it really bothers me. If I want to get my politics, let me go to Fox News or CNN or whatever, and let me go to ESPN for my sports. But this year, way too much, they intersected. And I don't like it at all. And this national anthem thing, one wish for 2018 is that the whole national anthem topic goes away. Because I want to go to the sports we used to call it the fun and games section of the newspaper.
Yeah.
And politics is politics, but leave sports alone and let there be a separation.
And it's amazing because these national places, and ESPN in particular, first of all, they'll say, well, we're being objective or we're being what people want to talk about. No one says that. And their ratings continue to go down lower and lower, and they keep talking about politics. And yet they don't seem to get it.
Yeah, you're right. Because why we have sports person, I don't like Hollywood chiming in. I don't like sports people, sports media chiming in.
All right, my biggest gripe, and I love doing the tape delay games here. I love doing the tape delay games. I really, you kid me about them, but I love doing them. I hope I'm doing them for another 20 years. I'd love to do that. But I always hear it from both sides when I do the tape delay games, because I have people that'll come up and say, why aren't you live? Why didn't you decide to do the live game? Why aren't you live? Because now I have a bad hip, and I have to come up and walk up all these bleachers. And then on the other hand, we'll hear arguments, well, the reason attendance is down is because of the TV people. My biggest gripe is you two have to get together and agree. What are you going to hammer me on? What are you going to hammer the TV people on? Is it we should be live? We shouldn't be live. We didn't start being live. It was the market dictated that we started doing live games. And then, of course, we have the argument, well, TV is ruining attendance at high school games, which I don't think is the case. I've been to a lot of different events. I was not broadcasting. I was just there as a fan or just there as a reporter, and the attendance wasn't good. So get together, figure out who's to blame or what the reason is, and then if you're going to yell at me for one thing.
TV is to blame.
The contract.
But it's not you guys. I'm going to tell you what's to blame is that the oversaturation of all.
It's going to get worse.
When I was a kid, we would go to a high school game on a Friday night, and sometimes I'd go to a college game on Saturday because, hey, it was really cool to go out and see a college game, whether it was at Muhlenberg, Lehigh, or whatever. But now, look at the TV dial on a Saturday morning, and I do it, I put it, it's very popular. I put it online over the morning call. There are literally 75 games available. And you don't even generally have to have a special package. I mean, you can get any game in any part of the country. I think that's where we're a busy society now. Games galore here. It used to be special. It used to be special to be able to see one game of the week, whether it's baseball. Now it's just it's kind of a gluttony of sports coverage. But hey, you're right. The market dictates. So no, I don't believe that our local cable companies are to blame. I just think it's just the society in general. There's so much going on. There's so much available to us, and we don't have to go out of our house to get to see a lot of entertainment from the sports world.
By the way, Jared Jenkins is the Freedom quarterback.
Beautiful.
Thanks to Mike Trombetta for looking
that
up here on my computer.
You're going to know that name.
Computer.
I won't forget that name
he's
in
a great
next
player.
2 years.
I was touting him all fall, too, and it bugged me. I couldn't remember that. Thanks for breaking my computer here, Eric, too. Best national sports story. Keith, how would you answer this for best national sports story?
Well, I think the Houston Astros, I mean, they used to be a rival of my Cardinals, and of course the Cardinals were spying on them, and they were so downtrodden, nobody cared about them. I think a lot of people weren't even aware they were in the American League after being in the National League team. I don't know if you were young enough to remember or old enough to remember the 1980 playoffs.
Oh,
they lost the heartbreaker. Heartbreaker to the Phillies that year. A couple years later, 86, I think they lost another heartbreaker to the Mets in the NLCS. Great for the Houston Astros to break through just weeks or months after the terrible hurricane just ravaged that city. I thought the Houston Astros were a great, great story. Winning a compelling World Series, I thought it was fantastic.
It was too late. I didn't get to watch the last I had probably the longest answer I've ever had for a Year in Review show in the 14 years we've been doing this. What I do for the best sports story, I look at the three major sports, baseball, football, and basketball, and look at what was the most talked about, what was the most covered story or stories from the year. Baseball, I talked about the analytics. It has gotten slow. It's gotten boring. I consider myself more of a traditionalist. It's hard to watch. There's a lack of fundamentals. I remember 20 years ago, Punkin Miller was ranting about the lack of fundamentals. Mm-hmm. What would he think now?
Oh,
he can't have outfielders running the right way.
Boy, Punkin would have so much to say these days.
Oh, my goodness. And you have to have three relay men. You have to have a cutoff man and a backup for the cutoff and then a backup for the cutoff man. It has gotten so bad. It's almost unwatchable. And it's killing people. The youth, it's losing people because it's so slow. And these minor tweaks, like the automatic intentional walk, which takes away 8 seconds if you have one, and then you add a one-out commercial, which is 30 seconds long, 90-second pitching change commercials, 6-minute commercial breaks for the bigger games. It's killing the younger audience and the older audience. So then I went to basketball. And the two big stories was you have a super team, you have maybe 8 good teams, and the rest of the teams are trying to lose on purpose so that maybe 5 years from now you can do what the Sixers are doing and have a good team. The other big story in the NBA was about these mega millionaires like LeBron James and others saying, boy, it's tough playing 2 nights in a row. I mean, imagine the gall of owners asking their players to play for 2 hours for 2 nights in a row. I mean, you know, What savages are we that we ask these multi-millionaires to do that? And they're complaining about it. They're saying, well, you know, I need a night off. I played last night. I can't play this night. So basketball has turned me off. And then you go to NFL, and you have the protests. And you have people like Malcolm Jenkins, who did a great job, whether you agreed with him, what he was doing or not, he backed that up. He went to meet with politicians. He met with police officers. He met with local community members. He backed it up. So whether you agree or disagree with the anthem, I respect the fact that he had an opinion. He talked about an obvious problem in our society, and he did something about it. But you have too many people that have no clue about what they're protesting. And if you sit down and you listen to press conferences, you listen to full sound bites, unedited by the media, there's far too many people out there that are protesting, and they don't know why. Some are saying, well, the reason Colin Kaepernick is sitting down is because they don't like Donald Trump. Well, when he sat down, Donald Trump wasn't even thought of as being a viable presidential candidate. The election was still months away. You have other people that are saying, well, America doesn't offer opportunities to people. You're making millions of dollars in this country, and you're protesting because people cannot have opportunities. So there's far too many people that are just doing it to be popular, to be trendy, to say, hey, we're a part of it. And I love these people that are saying, we're all behind Colin Kaepernick, saying it 12, 13, 14 months after he did it, and now that he's out of work. So I think between all of these three things that happen in your major sports, my answer to this question is nothing. I was not happy with anything in national sports this year. I'm sorry. Sorry for being long-winded. Worst year from a national standpoint, in my opinion, was 2000.
Well said, though. Well said. It was, that was a nice speech, though. Nice speech.
Thank you very much. We'll go quickly through the next one here because we're starting to run short on time. Nicest sports group of 2017.
Well, I'll tell you what. I really enjoyed those outdoor shows we did. What's it called? The Buffalo Wild? What's it called? I should know
the name. Sports Talk Goes Wild.
Yeah, we loved it.
Someone came up with that
name. And I'll tell you what. Just talking, because what you realize, Chris, and this is why, and you hit it on the head. National sports is a mess. Is that somebody beeping me?
I don't know. This computer hasn't worked since Eric threw it out
the window. National sports is a complete mess, as Chris alluded to, but the local sports is still where it's at. And when we got to meet the Becker girls basketball team, the Moravian Academy field hockey team, the Central Catholic volleyball team, it really warmed my heart, because we have not only great athletes, but great, great young people, smart, intelligent, hardworking kids. That's why you hit it on the head. National sports is a mess. Local sports is where it's at. And I love those shows we did with those state champions.
Great answer there. I will just go with another school to include them, Penn Argyle Girls Soccer. Great supporter of this show. They're always emailing and sending out comments, and we got a chance to do a story on them. They did a great job turning the program around the last couple years here. A lot of success, I'm sure, coming down the pike. I want to give them a shout out. They were very nice, too, when we went up there. Alyssa Scheckler from our crew was up there, and they treated her very nicely, too. So shout out to the Penn Argyle Girls Soccer team. All right, no disputing that Keith is the undisputed king of Lehigh Valley sports. You're active. You are out there more than anyone else. I don't think anyone would argue with that. So we just want to take a moment to pay tribute to you. You were kind enough to send us some of the pictures of you in action.
Some I should regret it
during
immediately.
2017. Yep. Okay. No, I'm serious here. You are the guy that goes out. You are the hardest working sports journalist in the Lehigh
Valley.
Bring
it on. Let's see what's happening.
We were going to pay tribute to him with some action photos of Keith out in the community here in 2017.
Oh, boy.
Final couple minutes of our 2017 year in review show, along with Keith Groller. I'm Chris Michael. By the way, if you have the podcast, make sure you get someone with RCN Cable or go to the Morning Call website to see some of those great pictures honoring Keith Groller. Did you see? We weren't setting you up to dry.
Those I was really worried pictures. About that. For the most part, it was good.
And by the way, since the turnabout is fair game here, this spring I celebrated my 20th anniversary here at RCN. And the person who you called a resident genius here.
Comic genius. Let's get it right.
Well, whatever. He's asking for more money, too, here, which is scaring us. He was trying to put together a tribute video about my highlights here at 20 years. And because the crew loves me so much, especially Eric, who I'm falsely accusing of breaking my computer here. But he has been hard at work for the last 10 months putting together a tribute for me in my 20 years reflection upon RCN. So let's take a moment, look back, and look at my honorary video of 20 years here at RCN. What was that? What happened?
I was settling back in my chair. I thought it was going to be a lengthy piece.
What happened? Where is it? Eric, what? That's it? That's it.
Mr. Kingsley, you still are a comic genius.
Let's quickly move on.
Let me give you a raise, my friend. You deserve a raise, Mr. Kingsley.
He deserves something, all right. Topic number 14. Oh, great. This is bad timing on our part. Hardest working group in sports. Keith, I'm ready to skip this one, but
no,
go ahead with your answer.
I am so honored and proud to be part of the RCN 4 family.
Not after that video.
And look, people don't realize, they watch the games if you're, you know, you enjoy the games Friday nights at football venues, multiple nights of the week during basketball season, wrestling, you name it. You have no idea how hard these guys work. They're there long before the game. They're there a long time afterwards. There's a lot of heavy lifting. And I just don't know that the viewers really appreciate the effort that goes in to a great broadcast. And I want to thank them personally, because I race in here every week at 6:59 and a half. And what's our cameraman's name? I call him Mr. Lee Hyten. Eric. Yeah. Eric scrambles over here to put the microphone on. Literally, these guys work like miracles in like 20 or 30 seconds, and I appreciate it. I'm very happy to be part of the RCN4 family.
They do a great job, except for Kingsley, who did that video. Mine is girls basketball. We spend a lot of time covering boys basketball here. We try to get some girls basketball coverage on in the summer and in the winter. They do a great job, and they've been very active the last few years in doing charity work. We had some girls in for our Take Five program, working with the Cops and Kids program for college athletes and high school athletes. And girls basketball, I think, very underrated in this area. They do a lot for the Lehigh Valley community. All right, moving ahead, 2017 will be the year best remembered as the year of fill in the blank. Keith, your response?
Well, I already covered this. The year that athletics and politics collided, and you know, when we treat athletes as heroes for their political stand, I think there's a problem, and I didn't like it at all.
All right. 2017 for me will be the year we've had a decided change in sports journalism. I was out, we were interviewing Rhys Hotkins when he first came to the Iron Pigs. MLB Network was there. Not about his style of hitting, not about what he hoped to do. They were asking him about his facial hair and how does he like to grow mustaches and his favorite type of so-and-so. ESPN, they have press conferences asking coaches about how are they going to adjust their practice during the eclipse. Asking Nick Saban before a big game, what do you think about stonewashed jeans, the new trend that's out there. Sports journalism has changed. It's changing big time, and it's going to continue to change for the future. Maybe not for the best. But, Keith, thanks so much for your time. We're out of
Thank
time.
You. Happy Merry holidays, Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year. And we'll see you January 4th, our next live edition of Sports Talk. For everyone at RCN, I'm Chris Michael. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.